So you're probably wondering, how did she get up here? And I'm thinking, nepotism works really well. Okay. So my mom asked me to preach about hope, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I was like, that is mission impossible. So, but we'll get to that later. Okay. So my goal today is to give you a little expose into what it means to be young, and specifically 17, since that was the age I was when I wrote this. We'll ignore my birthday. Okay. So nearly everyone has been 17 before, but I thought you might need a refresher into what it means to be young today, which I imagine is both very wildly different and maybe exactly the same as when you were young. And additionally, I want to discuss what it means to be a young Christian. So what does it mean to be 17? According to the reliable source of ABBA, you are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. And the artist Ben Rector, I feel like new sunglasses, a brand new pair of jeans. I feel like taking chances. I feel a lot like 17. And those are some pretty cheesy lyrics, but I think they do serve as a purpose to demonstrate what's expected of a 17-year-old in our society right now. We're supposed to be like youthful, bright-eyed, risk-taking, optimistic, and idealistic, and having the time of our lives. When speaking to some foreign exchange students, they said when coming to America, they thought high school would be like either High School Musical or the show Friday Night Lights about Texas football, neither of which are really true. So in many ways, being 17 is very different from when you were 17. Being the history buff I am, I think we can compare this a little to the Industrial Revolution. So I once read that a sailor living in 1840 would have been far more comfortable on a ship built in the 1500s than he would have been on a ship built just 20 years later. So like 300 years before, he'd be more comfortable. And I think the Industrial Revolution is similar to today. We're living in one of those times. In many ways, you can't understand what it's like to grow up today because things are changing too fast and it's just far too different. And maybe you really don't know what it's like to grow up right now. And for example, I was 2 during 9/11, and I've only ever known a post-9/11 America. And having only a vague memory of the recession in 2008, I've only really known a world with more economic uncertainty as well. Obama's election in 2008 was the first presidential election I remember, and I have only grown up with his presidency. On another note, I was 8 when my dad bought his very first iPhone. And hardly knowing a world without technology, my generation lives and breathes into our phones. And my high school experience was even drastically very different from my older sister Abby's high school experience just 6 years later. We use different social media, we communicate in different ways, and we're only 6 years apart. And I can't name a single person in my school who doesn't have some kind of smartphone. And you probably think this is a luxury item, but it's not. It's kind of a necessity. And I also think the importance of social media can be negated in older eyes. Twitter can be a war zone. You have no idea how many times it'll be like so-and-so is getting roasted on Twitter and the whole school is talking about it. I think friendships can be based entirely through Snapchat, and a girl's self-worth can be determined by her followers on Instagram. So Pascal says something vaguely similar to this, but we like to say we all have a God-shaped vacuum within us. And at 17, I think we try to fill this void with different things than you would at 37 or 87, but everyone, despite age, fills their lives with things that aren't Christ. And generally speaking, I think we fill our lives with our phones and trying to make a connection and feel valued and less lonely. And it's probably a terrible situation. We always hear about the, we have no face-to-face relationships, things like that. But it is the reality we face. And I've heard way too many comments from adults disparaging against youth and their cell phones. And maybe it's all true, but I don't think you understand a lot of it's about conforming. So I can't tell you how many times I've sat around a table with a group of friends and every single person is on their phone and I pull out my phone just to look busy, like I have something to do. And too many kids I know fill their lives with very questionable decisions made on Friday night that feel empty Saturday morning. And I know a lot of girls empty themselves with eating disorders. And I volunteered at a Christian camp over the summer, and I was shocked to hear about half of the girls I was interacting with had struggled with some degree of an eating disorder through even middle school and high school. I think we're constantly faced with this image of how our life should look, and there's no escape. Also, I'm not exactly a poster child for my generation, but I've done my fair share of feeling empty too, in a different way. So I filled my life with school and sports and violin, and these are seemingly good things, right? I don't know if you know this, you can check your grades like every 2 seconds. So every time a teacher puts your score and you know exactly what your grade is, it's no like just hand you your report card. So there was one point freshman year, I would check my grades like 3 times a day, see that I maintained my line of A pluses. And I got my worth thinking, at the very least, I'm a lot smarter than you. And I'm a varsity playing freshman, and I'm first chair in the orchestra. Clearly I'm better than you. And on the inside, I think it's making up for being insecure. And while my sins are very different from my classmates, I don't think that they're any less severe. And many people my age, we're very consumed by our own lives, but that doesn't mean our lives aren't poisoned with the things going on around us. So my friends and I were pretty much all just a few months away from being able to vote. And without too much life experience, I think maybe I'm overreacting, but it seems a lot like the country's falling apart. And no one really asked us what we thought. And like so many people my age, I couldn't vote, and I didn't have a voice. And this is the first year I seem to learn that everything doesn't always go your way. Everything won't be okay. As the supposed future of our nation, I often think about the mess my generation is supposed to clean up and wondering if it will be possible without even, like, an environmental protection agency. And powerless is probably the most fitting adjective on how I feel, and I think hopeless is a close second. And for a while in November, my parents actually banned me from reading the news because they would come in my room and find me just like a mess under a mound of tissues. And I think there's a level of skepticism and cynicism in youth probably like never before. Who could we possibly trust when we're bombarded by alternative facts and compassion seems very optional and caring about my self-interest over yours seems like the government's policy? And when you're young, it's supposed to be this time where you figure out what you believe that's different from your parents and your other influencers. But how can we possibly figure out what we believe when it's really hard to distinguish what's true and what's not? And I honestly don't trust my elders, my teachers, the police, the authority. I can fact check my teachers. I can see if they're telling the truth or not. And I don't trust people who blatantly make prejudiced assumptions about my generation. I've heard too many statements saying, youth these days are just so violent. It's ridiculous. And I don't trust people claiming to be Christian when they show anything but Christian values. And I think my generation, the average kid, completely lacks a Christian role model. So, obvious next step, let's talk about hope, right? Okay, so I know that my hope, my only faith is in my Lord. So I want to reflect on the verses Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And I think words like peace, faith, grace, and hope are not words we hear ever in the context of the world today. And as a young person, I can say all I really want is something to believe in, and I'm very fortunate that I know that Christ is the only rock I can stand on. I like to equate following Christ in high school to trying to navigate the main hallway in Freedom or Liberty with the entire school walking the other way. You will most likely get trampled, and you will definitely feel alone. And I've been to many, many churches in my short life, and I am very fortunate to have ended up here with kind people. I think it might be easier than ever to share Christ's love with youth, because we're all desperately searching for something to stand on and quickly finding that everything else is sand. So I try to leave you with hope. I'm hoping you'll refrain from using a youth these days kind of statement when you're compelled to judge. And I hope you'll go out of your way to be kind to an especially rude teenager. Because we are Christians, we all share the one and only hope in the world, our Lord. And I hope that you'll share it with a generation that really needs some good news.